Thanks, Mark. Boy, that sure was beautiful, singing Seek Ye First. Let's pray together before we begin. Lord, I am struck just at your love for us as we deal with worry and anxiety, that you don't want that for us. And Lord, as we come and we look at this text, I pray that you would open our hearts, that we would be receptive for what it is that you want us to hear today. What is it that we need to let go of to you? So, Lord, offer these words here that you would be glorified and you would challenge us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I have a video. Is the possibility it's working? Is it? Oh, there we go. I'm glad you got to see that. Can you relate to some of those people? Stressing over bills, relationships, daily frustrations like car trouble. In this passage today, the topic, as we've already expressed, is anxiety or worry. And as we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, at times I have taken larger chunks of Scripture and pulled out some key thoughts, and at other times looked at some smaller sections. The passage last week and the passage this week, they could have been combined. But I felt like these two topics of the use of money and anxiety are things that tend to trip us up and thus needed to be dealt with separately. We can laugh at the video, but is that because it strikes close to home? Being worried or anxious is a common problem. A story in Time magazine a while ago talked about how anxiety as a biological, emotional, and psychological response to current national and world affairs is high. And more than ever, people are worrying themselves sick. As we look at the Bible, there are many verses that talk about us not being anxious. And here are just three. Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a man down. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. The principle about worry is expressed in the imperative. Do not be anxious. Do not worry about your life. And a first response to this might be, yeah, but you don't know what's going on in my life. No, but Jesus does. Jesus is speaking to people for whom life was not easy, people for whom daily life was a struggle. In his Sermon on the Mount, he was probably addressing some wealthy people, but the majority of people would have been peasants, where a lot of their daily routine was spent trying to get enough just for daily existence. The question of what to eat tomorrow was very real. In a description of the social situation in Matthew's Gospel, Rodney Stark notes, tenement cubicles were smoky, dark, often damp, and always dirty. The smell of sweat, urine, feces, and decay permeated everything. Outside on the street, it was little better. Mud, open sewers, manure, and crowds. In fact, human corpses, adult as well as infant, were sometimes just pushed into the street and abandoned. Whether in an urban or a rural setting, life was hard. And Jesus is teaching his disciples how to live securely in the midst of their daily difficulties. His charge is to live each day trusting God's care, trusting him in everyday situations. Jesus tells them to consider the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. It's not that the birds don't do anything. They build their nests and they collect food for their young. But God is the ultimate source of their food. The point is that when Jesus' disciples carry out life as led by God, God is faithful to carry out his end. And Jesus asked them, "Are you not much more valuable than these birds?" He tells us not to worry, to not be afraid, because we are of infinite value to God. Jesus goes on to point out the lilies of the field. And as he spoke on that hillside, there were probably wildflowers that were surrounding him. Even today, red and purple anemones, along with lilies or irises, grow on that hillside above the Sea of Galilee. If God provides such a transitory part of his creation, will he not also care for us? Jesus' response to worry and anxiety is, "Oh, you of little faith." Worry really indicates a lack of trust in God. Do we trust in his love? Trust in his care and provision? He's created the world. He sustains it. He sent his Son, and he's redeemed us. And how grieved he must be when we are anxious and worried, not recognizing his immense love and care for us. Anxiety achieves nothing. It cannot even add a little bit to our lifespan. And in fact, it may even shorten it. They say that 80 to 90% of things that we worry about never happen. But worry really is a form of idolatry. It happens when we take our eyes off Jesus. God knows the impact that worry has on us, and he doesn't want that for us. Chris Carr comments, "If you don't think your anxiety, depression, sadness, and stress impact your physical health, think again. All of these emotions trigger chemical reactions in your body, which can lead to inflammation and a weakened immune system." In a study of Harvard Medical School, it looked at how the long-term exposure to stress can lead to serious health problems. When we're stressed over a busy schedule, over an argument with a friend, a traffic jam — I was in one of those yesterday — a mountain of bills, our body reacts just as strongly as if we were facing life or death situations. Chronic stress or anxiety disrupts every system in our body. The study noted that many health problems are caused or exacerbated by stress and anxiety, including pain of any kind, depression, heart disease, weight problems, autoimmune diseases, sleep problems, digestive problems, skin conditions. God doesn't want this for us and tells us, don't be anxious. The opposite of anxiety is trust. Trust in the care and in the power of God. We can trust that our loving Heavenly Father knows what we need and will provide for us. We're to learn daily to follow his guidance and trust in his gracious provision. Jesus says, consider the birds. Consider the lilies. And I would like you to also consider the spider. Hopefully you're not afraid of spiders too much, you won't even hear this. Now, there's a story of a man who was clearing up his desk. It was on Friday afternoon, and he noticed an envelope. And someone must have placed it there while he was on the phone. He opened it and read it, and to his shock and dismay, it was a notice of being terminated from his job. His entire department was being eliminated along with his position. After all the years that he had given to this corporation, he found himself filled with resentment and the sense of being victimized. The man sat slumped in his chair in utter despair, and he began to think of all the terrible things that were going to happen to him. His entire lifestyle would have to be altered. He thought, I'll have to sell my house. I'm too old to get another job. I'm useless. I'm all washed up. At that moment, the man noticed a spider on his desk, and without thinking, he just brushed it off. He was amazed, though, as he watched the tiny creature automatically spin a strand to bear its weight and swing gracefully to the floor. He pondered the action of this tiny creature and how God had placed within it resources to meet this emergency. And he considered, why could he not do as much? For many hours, he sat in deep, troubling thought that turned gradually to creative mediation. The man moved from the anxiety of what he lacked to the abundance of the God-given inner resources he'd been blessed with. He thought, my security is not in my job or in my money or in my house, but in my connection with a God of grace who has seen me through all circumstances in my life. They might take me off the payroll, but no one can take away the flow of God's abundance in my life. This man apparently had an inner longing for an opportunity to kind of tap into his creative side and creative writing. And so here now was an opportunity before him. A whole new way of thinking possessed him. He thanked God for the new door that was open to him and even blessed his termination from his job. He left the office with an enthusiasm and a zest for life that surprised even himself. The man had some writings published and ended up earning some money. He didn't become a financial giant, but more importantly, he had a newfound faith in the abundance of God and became less anxious about what he lacked in his life. What inner resources has God given you to cope with what is at hand? Max Lucado wrote a little devotional book, and in it he has two sections entitled What Ifs and Howls. What if this happens? And how will I cope with this? And he puts Matthew 6:34 this way. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. He goes on to say, meet today's problems with today's strength. Don't start tackling tomorrow's problems until tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow's strength yet. You simply have enough for today. The key to overcoming worry is to learn how to utilize God's strength. To accomplish what is before us, trusting Him. Consider the spider. And as I was working on this sermon, I read some practical ways of how we can cope and deal with anxiety. And I questioned, well, do you share things like this in a sermon or not? And then I was reminded that the Bible provides a lot of specific, practical things to help us. So, here are six things to consider using the word spider. I did have a PowerPoint for this, but oh well. As God has placed within the spider resources to cope with its situation, God gives us resources to cope with life's daily struggles. So, taking that word spider, S for supplication, a fancy word for just asking in prayer. Worry must be brought to God in prayer. God is the one who can release us from paralyzing fear or anxiety. He is the one who can free us to deal realistically with the needs and the welfare of others and of ourselves. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We are to continually pray, trusting that God hears our prayers and that He will respond. P, professional help. You might need to go see a medical doctor. And I am a strong proponent of the advantage of going for counseling. This can be such a beneficial resource. If you find fear and anxiety is an ongoing problem in your life, or whether there's just some issues that you are wrestling with, talk with a professional. Gain some understanding and some suggestions. It can be so helpful. I, intentional focus on today. Many people are worried about events that will never happen to them. Relax. Focus on today. Take one day at a time. In verse 34, Jesus says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." D, dialogue. Talk to someone. It can be a big relief to share your fears and worries with someone else. Don't keep it all in. And that's where the fellowship of the body of Christ can be so helpful. E, exercise. I'm trying to work on this one. Medical studies show that exercise can help lower anxiety. If you're healthy enough to exercise, try it. Walking, running, swimming, or any other exercise can be a real stress reducer. And finally, R, for recreation. It's good to get some recreation on a regular basis, to take a break, to have some fun, to do something you enjoy, to go out and enjoy creation. Sabbath is a practical thing that the Lord tells us to do that really helps us and makes a difference. Supplication, professional help, intentional focus on today, dialogue, exercise, and recreation. And there are many other things that you can do. And maybe these can just be a few things to kind of get you started thinking. Jesus saying, don't worry, doesn't mean don't do anything. It's doing what He has called for us to do today, and trusting Him in the midst for our future. We obey and we trust. There was a young man who was invited to come speak to a youth group. He just joined the army, and when he stood up to give his talk, he produced his army boots as a visual aid, and he called one of the boots trust and the other one obey. He described them as the left and the right foot of the Christian, of the walk of the Christian life. Trust and obey. As that old hymn says, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Two things that really help us walk free of worry. Jesus isn't saying that everything is going to be great all the time. There will always be dark days. He knows the difficulties, but in the midst, we're not to fret and worry, but trust each day's struggles into His hands. R.T. France noted, God's sure provision of our needs does not guarantee a life without problems, but they need not be multiplied by worrying about them before they occur. God knows about these too, and can be trusted to deal with them when the time comes. In all the challenges that we face, we need to remember that nothing is too hard for the Lord. As we trust Him for today, become increasingly secure in His care for tomorrow, regardless of whatever difficulty may come. Jesus ends saying, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. To seek is not to look for something that's not already there. In this context, it means that we are to make the kingdom of heaven the center of our continual priorities, our daily focus. We've entered the kingdom. We're to enter into that daily reality, drawing on God's ordering of our lives. Jesus began with a negative. Don't be anxious. But then he sets out the positive attitude, seeking his kingdom, his righteousness. And as we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, we're to live in a spirit of gratitude, thanking God for what he's done and what he is doing. A way of reversing the trend toward worry is to look around and see what God has done, and then say thanks. When we put God first, he will take care of the rest. We can give him all of our cares, trusting him, following his directive to not be anxious.